Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Taiwan Mobile second quarter 2010 result conference call. Our chairperson today is Mr. Harvey Chen, and we have Ms. Rosie Yu as the speaker. Rosie, please begin call, and I'll be standing by for the question and answer session. Thank you.
And hi, everyone. Welcome to our quarterly conference call. And let me begin our presentation on the second quarter of this year. And before I begin my presentation, I have to direct your attention to the second page, which says the information contained in this presentation, including all forward-looking information, is subject to change without notice, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, and Taiwan Mobile undertakes no obligation to update or revise the information contained in this presentation. No representation or warranty either expressed or implied is provided in relation to its accuracy, completeness, or reliability of the information contained herein. Nor is information intended to be a complete statement of the company market developments referred to in this presentation. With that page out of the way, and I will ask you to direct to page 4, which talks about the a summary of our second quarter result. Our second quarter actual revenue came out to be better than expected, and recorded a stable revenue, which exceeded our guidance by 3% in second quarter. On the profitability front, second quarter G&A expense continued declining from a year ago. In addition, lower than expected network cost, SAC expenses further boosted the second quarter EBITDA to surpass the guidance by 11%. Having said that, smartphone subsidies and earlier than expected asset write-off, which was expected to take place in the second half, weighed on the second quarter bottom line. And on the next page, we'll take a look at the second quarter performance breakdown by the three business groups. On the consumer business group, the consumer business EBITDA in the second quarter was still affected by the increased smartphone subsidies, which was meant to grow our wireless data business. On the household business, the household business that benefiting from the rapid subscriber growth in the broadband service with an EBITDA margin of 53%. Overall, HBG EBITDA margin was up 2.3% point from a year ago. And on the enterprise business, our EBG EBITDA improved year over year by 10%, driven by continued gain in roaming and the solid cost controls. On the next page, you will see that comparison with our peers in terms of the sequential changes in mobile business, we stood out with the highest ARPU increase and the stable mobile margins, as you can see from the charts that are here. And then on the next page, we talk about the value-added service and the 3G. Our value-added service and revenue continue its strong growth in the second quarter and now accounted for 15% of the total service revenue. Our mobile internet revenue expanded to be over half of our vast revenue and is expected to grow further along with the launch of more affordable smart devices. And then our 3G postpaid subscriber number in second quarter this year now exceeded 3.6 million, up 31% on a year-over-year basis, which made up of 64% of total postpaid subscriber base. And our 3G data revenue now is up 64% from a year ago. And I'll turn the mic over to Rosie.
Now let's look at the cash flow analysis on page 8. Our second quarter operating cash flow was affected by the payment of 209 corporate income tax compared to a quarter ago. The second quarter cash outlay on investing activity was mainly for the $1.36 billion in CapEx. In terms of financing activities, short-term debts were reduced by $0.3 billion. With stable core business cash earnings and prudent CapEx, our first half free cash flow was $9.76 billion, translating into an annualized free cash flow yield of 8%. Now let's look at the balance sheet. On the asset side, cash balance continued rising along with steady inflows of operating cash flows. The net PP&E balance consists of $38.5 billion of mobile and $3.7 billion of fixed and $2 billion of cable assets. Other current liabilities increased quarter over quarter in second quarter, which was a reflection of the $15 billion cash dividend payment made on July 23rd. With the $0.3 billion reduction in borrowing in the quarter, our net debt to EBITDA was only 0.11 times as of the end of second quarter. And special reserve was down by $2.53 billion to top up our cash dividends. Let me turn this back over to Harvey for the third quarter forecast.
For the coming quarter, despite the healthy wireless data revenue growth, we expect mobile service revenue to edge down 2% on a year-over-year basis. And separately, the cable internet growth will continue to propel HPG's revenue in the third quarter this year. Our expectations of higher enterprise-related mobile revenue will also contribute to the revenue growth. To cope with the pressure on mobile voice revenue, we will continue lowering our network costs and administrative-related expenses in the third quarter versus a year ago in terms of marketing campaigns. Resources increase will largely be used for retention effort to level up the smartphone penetration rate. As we had recognized some of the asset write-off losses earlier than expected in the first half, our third quarter write-off losses will taper off to NT$287 million only. This coupled with the lower tax rate will translate into a positive net profit increase, both on quarter-over-quarter and a year-over-year basis. And then the next page is an event update. I think that is only for your reference only. And then the last page, I think that something that you basically already know, that our attempt to acquire Carlyle's cable assets will not be consummated due to indirect state ownership, and so this regulatory hurdle we cannot overcome. The acquisition agreement expired on June 30th. And we will reevaluate the other opportunities when the law is revised. And that completes my short presentation, and we'll be happy to take questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now poll for questions. If you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key on your telephone keypad. Thank you. Our first question comes from Kathy Chan of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. I have three questions. The first one is on the cable business. Given the recent news flow that the Tsai family may use its own vehicle to acquire Cabro, could you share how Tao Mobile would be able to cooperate with Cabro in the future from an operational standpoint? Also, can you confirm whether Tao Mobile will be providing any funding to the Tsai family entity? The second question is on, I just wanted to clarify whether the government ownership restrictions on media assets will impact Taiwan Mobile's current holding on TFN. And then the last question is on the third quarter guidance. Could you provide some more color on why you expect EBITDA margins to decline 2 percentage points quarter on quarter? Thanks.
Cathy, there won't be any impact that on your second question on our current holding of TFN media assets. And we have already issued a press release yesterday that there's no funding support has been planned for the Thai family acquisition of the cable assets. As to your first question, I can only answer from the point of view of what we have. As you know, that we are the fourth largest cable TV operators in Taiwan. We have roughly a little over half a million subscribers, and a little over 100,000 broadband users, and I think that our vision is continue that we want to provide the so-called three-screen service to our users. Of course, at this point of time, because of limited coverage on the cable TV areas, only a fraction of our customer will be able to enjoy this service, which is in our pipeline right now. Rosie, can you talk about the third question?
Yeah, EBITDA margin on a quarter-on-quarter basis will be down 2%. That's mainly due to the increased handset subsidies expected for the third quarter.
Okay, thanks. If I could just follow up on the first question. So is there anything you could share regarding cooperation with Cabro in the future then?
Right now, I think they have just signed an agreement. The deal is not even closed. I think it's too early to talk about that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Our next question comes from Terry Chen of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the call. I have one question. Given that Taiwan Mobile is no longer pursuing the cable deal, should we continue to assume the treasury share will continue to give up the dividend? Thank you.
Yeah, as long as the treasury share is there, then I think we will give up the dividend.
Thanks.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is the number one key for questions. Our next question comes from Lei Peng Huan of Nomura Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Once again, our next question comes from Lei Peng Huan of Nomura. Please go ahead.
Peng Huan, are you there?
We'll pull the next question once again. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Our next question comes from Martin Low of Daiwa Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just have a quick question. Is there a possibility that the Chai family would actually sell any of their stakes in Taiwan Mobile to fund the acquisition of the cable?
Well, I really cannot speak for them, but I really don't see that intention from their behavior.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is number one key for questions. Our next question comes from Joseph Quinn of Macquarie, Hong Kong, Taiwan. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. Just a quick question. Can you give us some further color on why you believe your EBITDA margin is performing better than Far EasTone? Are they more aggressive on their smartphone strategy, or have you any other comments on why that is? Thanks.
Well, let me put it this way. We don't believe in buying revenues. So we believe that our EBITDA margin will continue versus other people. We just don't believe in that.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Lipin Wan of Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry. So this is thank you for the call today. So I have a, can you explain more about this? What is the current situation of your smartphone? I mean, how many penetration rate of the contract today, or on the stock base, how many smartphones already in your network, and what is the impact for your CapEx for example, the second half or next year? Is it because we see in U.S. the CapEx really rising?
Smart device users now account for close to 5% of our total subscriber base. And they, our strategy is to grow the smart device to about 10%. It does not create a burden on our network so far, and this is their ARPU is substantially higher than average ARPU, so that's why we are pushing for this smartphone penetration on our end.
Okay, so the second question is about this cable business. I mean, the cable things. Can you comment that, are there any change of this cable TV industry in Taiwan after this cable acquisition happens? Or to your business, I mean, to your own business, basically.
I don't really anticipate any dramatic change right after the acquisition. It will be a little bit different from what we attempted to do that a year ago.
Okay. So the last question that because the cable, your original plan to acquire cable does not go through. So do you think your cash position will improve from now on? So do you think you will consider more, for example, the capital reductions or these capital management policy more positively?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Next, we have a follow-up question from Joseph Quinn. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Can you give us some comments on in relation to your digital TV at this stage? What's your digital TV penetration, and do you see a high cooperation between digital TV in terms of your broadband rollout as well?
Certainly, we already had a lot of sort of bundle sales in terms of the digital TV and the broadband services. And our current digital TV subscriber is roughly 30%.
Right.
30% of our... 3% of our subscriber base. No, I think it's close to 20,000 people down on the digital.
Yeah, so that's roughly
3%.
Okay, thank you. And can I ask one other question? If, hypothetically, if the Tsai family do go ahead and purchase Cabral, and a little bit down the road you see a change in the revision of the broadcasting law to allow some indirect government holding, do you envisage a short period after that that you would go ahead and try to purchase the remaining the actual Gabriel from the Tsai family?
That's possible, but they are still a lot of barriers that on that direction. That
what would be the key issues to stop that happening?
Regulatory side. That's what has been stopping us in the past.
No, sorry. I mean, if the regulatory issues are fixed and the Tsai family are already holding Cabro, at that stage, do you see it as a pretty straightforward progress that you just go ahead and purchase it?
I think that the Tsai family is a large shareholder of a company. We certainly see that possibility. But I think, you know, if we're going to do that, this is a related party transaction, so I don't think it's going to be that straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
They are processes that we will have to follow through.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you that this is will be the straightforward process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is the number one key for questions. Our next question comes from Ravi Sagravi of Citigroup Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have one question, if I may, around the cable TV asset, the Cabro asset. Would Taiwan Mobile be open to discussions, for example, pre there being any change in the regulatory structure around indirect ownership of media assets? Would Taiwan Mobile, you know, entertain discussions around potentially leasing the assets or some kind of interconnect or resale structure around the Cabro asset, or could you see, you know, a number of issues that might prevent that?
I think we entertain any kind of idea, but it depends on what the deal is.
And has there been any mooted discussions in that direction as yet?
I cannot comment on that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. That is the number one key for questions. Next, we have a follow-up question from Lei Ping Kwan of Nomura Hong Kong. Please go ahead.
So I have one question. Sorry for we ask this cable too much. So, but since the cable case is already done by other, let's say, stakeholders, so what's the main issue for the management from now on will focus on for your whole business portfolio? Because basically the cable issue has been, the whole management has been solving this problem since last September. What will be the next topics the management will focus on from now on?
I think convergence is still the topic. Unfortunately, I think the most obvious path, which is to expand our cable TV operation, that hit a stone wall. But still, we need to examine other possibilities, opportunities, and that will be still be our focus. Other than try to maintain our strong the revenue source as well as the incoming cash flows.
So you are still focused on, let's say, the network convergence or convergence,
yes,
between, okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to register for a question, please press the number one key now. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is the number one key for questions.
If you don't have any further questions, thank you very much for attending this second quarter conference call. Thank you all. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for your participation. This concludes your conference.